Bring your greetings this morning in the name of Jesus. Bring your greetings from Great Lakes. Invite any of you to come up there. It's only 9 degrees colder this morning or 10 degrees colder this morning than what you had, so it's not a whole lot of difference. Young people, I appreciate your reports. And maybe I need to go back home and introduce something there. I think it was very beneficial to hear your reports from Bible school. And I want to encourage you to keep pressing on. We've heard a lot already this morning. I'll try to, in a timely manner, get over the message this morning. Appreciate the Sunday school lesson. There's much discussion that could be done. But I want to think about your true identity this morning. Where is your identity? What are you identifying with? What defines you? Who are you really? Our culture today encourages us to look inside of ourselves for answers. Or define ourselves by what we do, how we look, or how others see us. But what about you this morning? What about me? Do you define yourself based on the world's values? Or do you define yourself upon the values of God's word? The world defines you, who you are physically, how you physically appear, what others say about you, how your culture defines you, social status, and the list goes on. As a result, too many people believe today that I'm just not enough. I need to be more. You can forget all that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time this morning talking about the false values today. But I want to talk to you about the Word of God and how it defines you and what it is that gives our identity in Christ. So let's explore 14 facts this morning. I may not turn to every scripture, but we'll refer to them. But we want to look at how we are truly identified in Christ. Your true identity this morning is based on the foundation of your repentance. Your true identity is based in Christ when we are born again and we give our hearts to the Lord Jesus. That's number one. That is the identity that Christ wants us to have. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old passed away. Behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is the identity that Christ wants you and I to have. You receive a completely new identity when you're born again. Becoming partakers of the divine nature, 2 Peter 1:4. When you're in Christ, you're no longer defined. God no longer defines you by sin or failure, but he sees you through Jesus' righteousness. By comparison, your identity is no longer based on who you were, but who you are now, who you are new in Christ. Your old self has been done away with. He has removed your sins as far as east from the west. Never means you won't struggle again, because Satan is there and wants to overthrow us. He wants to have us defeated in our Christian walk. But now you are united with Jesus and have the power to live a new life. Romans 6:4. He had the power to save us and he has the power to keep you saved. Something we want to never forget. The second thing that Christ wants you to have the identity is that God knows you very intimately. What does God say about us in the Bible? Would you like to know a profound and humbling thought? God has known you intimately even before you were born. He told Jeremiah that. Jeremiah 1:5, he said, I knew you before you were even born. You were no accident this morning, but you were born with a purpose. If you think this morning that you were an accident, you shouldn't be here, you're wrong. Nobody's an accident, but you are here for the purpose of God. He knitted you together in the womb, reflecting his unparalleled craftsmanship. I have a grandson that's a Downs. Was he an accident? No. God had a purpose for bringing that grandson into that home. The first thing to remember is that as a Christian, your body is sacred because God, the Holy Spirit, dwells within you. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you know that you are the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within you to guide you into all truth? Not new truth, but all truth. Truth has always been there. Our third identity is this, that you are loved, you are chosen, and you are adopted into the family of God. And what a blessed thought this morning. Go with me to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Yes, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God, and therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. God loved us so much that he has chosen us to be part of his family. And we are called sons and daughters of his. You didn't earn this love. Your worth is not based on your performance, but on God's perfect love that he freely gives all of his children. Even when you feel forgotten or unimportant, remember these truths. In Christ, you are. Number one, God's child. Taken out of John 1:12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Secondly, you are purposefully chosen. Purposefully chosen. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 8. Read those few verses at this time. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 8. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom. We're going to leave off there. We are purposefully chosen. He chose you. He chose you and I. We are deeply loved. We read that in chapter 3, verse 1. We are entirely accepted in 1 Peter 2, 9, as his children, as his sons and daughters. Furthermore, as a child of God, you have a new name, a new family, and future. In fact, you are beloved sons and daughters of God, not a servant. You have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father, Romans 6:15. It's a wonderful privilege and a blessing this morning to be part of the family of God. Adoption means full inclusion. Full inclusion. Therefore, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. John 1:12. You may go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. Familiar verses. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can be at rest. It can never separate us from God unless we allow it to. Those verses have meant much to me over the years. May we understand this morning that complete victory can be ours in Christ Jesus. The identity of number four identity is that you are redeemed, you are forgiven, you are justified, and you are made righteous. We say, wow, that's a lot. It is. That's a lot to take in. Redeemed, forgiven, justified, and made righteous. That's what we are in the Lord Jesus this morning. But it is worth taking the time to understand them separately because they are such wonderful aspects of being part of your true identity in Christ. They're all related to the sacrificial death on the cross. It was Jesus who went to the cross, died on the cross while we were yet sinners for our redemption. Jesus paid the price to set us free from sin. But he arose again. He was victor over death, and he's now at the right hand of God interceding for us. And brothers and sisters, that trumpet will sound, probably not far away. I think we can discern that we're living in times of the end. As a result of Christ's sacrifice, he gave us new life. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of his grace in Ephesians 1:7. God says, Psalmist says that he removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. The east and west never meet. He removed them so far. You don't have to carry the guilt of sin. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. He has washed them all away. Next, when you place your faith in Jesus, you are justified, just as if you've never sinned. You're not guilty. The freedom we can find in all of that. Finally, being made righteous means you are in right standing with God. Your sins have gone on before. I believe this fifth identity that we have is that we are secure in Him. Yes, we can fall away. Go with me to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Things keep getting better for the child of God. When you consider your true identity in Jesus, may the world see that identity in us. May the world see Jesus in our life. Our brother mentioned about the draft. It's so important that we have our identity at the right place. In the times in which we live, He will never reject or forget you. If you ever feel rejected, or you feel like God has overlooked you, He will never overlook you. He knows where you're at all the time. You'll never be rejected. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. But in Luke 10:20, Jesus emphatically said that your name is written in heaven. Will your name be found in the Lamb's Book of Life when the book is opened? He says, I gave them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. John 10:28. How wonderful this morning, brothers and sisters. And the sixth identity in Christ is this, that you are part of the body of Christ. You are a part of the bride of Christ. You have this one congregation here, but the church of Jesus Christ, covering all nations, wherever they are, will someday be called up. You're not alone, but you're part of the body of Christ. You're part of the bride of Christ that Jesus is coming for someday. And I believe that when one part suffers, we all suffer. When one part rejoices, we all rejoice. Even though we're all different, we all have personalities. You know, I believe that Satan is attacking the unity of the church more than he's ever had before. And it seems sometimes that we tend to have so many maintenance issues in our churches sometimes that it robs us of other things. But yet it is necessary to maintain unity among God's people. And so much more today than it's ever been. Are we there when one member suffers? Do we all suffer with them? The identity number 7 is that you are empowered and you are gifted by God. You have a purpose in the body of Christ. You're never forgotten. God didn't just save you to sit on the bench. Be equipped. Use the spiritual gifts that God has given you in His work today. The special abilities that some people have, given by the Holy Spirit. No one is here this morning without a gift from God. Maybe it's not up front, But God has you for a special purpose. Your gift matters, whether it's teaching, whether it's encouraging. Serve where you can. We can all be encouragers. Let's put it to work. The eighth identity in Christ is that you are God's workmanship. This relates a little bit to the last one. Without a doubt, God created you for a purpose. You are no accident while you're here. God placed you here. Yes, sometimes some people move from one area to another, but we believe that that's probably in the direction that God has led them. He gave you gifts, he gave you talents, and he gave you a mission. You were made to reflect his goodness wherever you are, wherever God has called you. You are created to reveal the love of God to others. When your heart is filled with that love, it ought to be overflowing to others. Those in God's family, and first of all, and then those around you in your communities. Despite some days that may be rather hard, might face some hard things, your life has value because God is working in and through you to fulfill his purpose. You were specifically created to do good things that glorify him. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Ephesians 2:10. Number 9. Your true identity in Christ means that you are a citizen of a heavenly country. You are a citizen of a heavenly country. How are you living? What are you showing to the world around you? It's important to remember that this world is not your home forever. You belong to God's kingdom. Having this eternal perspective should bring you peace during challenging times of your life. But your citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we will await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The older I get, the closer heaven seems. As I look at the condition of our world today, you know, we leave the country, we need to have passports, and we need to make sure that everything's in place. I always keep a 10-year passport on me so that, and keep it current. I never let it run late. And I believe that we need to understand this morning, do you have your passport ready when we exit this world? And I'm not talking about the paper passport that we have to get from country to country. But someday, when we stand before the white judgment throne in Revelation, do we have our names in the Lamb's Book of Life? Will we have a current passport to exit this earth into our heavenly country? We're journeying through. No matter how old or how young you are, any of us can depart life tomorrow, today. Are you ready for that time? The tenth identity in Christ that I want to mention to you is that you are being transformed. Even though you are saved, God is not finished with you. God is still working in you. As a result, you are being changed from the inside out. Sanctification is a lifelong progress from earth to heaven. Each day, the Holy Spirit helps you grow more like Jesus, our Savior. We were created in his image. All these things we're mentioning today are the things that needs to be our identity today. It's a lifelong journey of growth, but God promises to finish the work in us that he started. And we all are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. 2 Corinthians 3:18. The 11th identity that I want to mention to you is this, that you are victorious in Christ Jesus. You can live in victory. Indeed, life can be very messy sometimes, very challenging sometimes, but your true identity in Christ means that you are victorious and never a victim of circumstances. While facing the difficult and hard circumstances in life, you're never a victim. Never take the victim mentality. Because you're never alone and you're never without hope in Christ. It is through Jesus you have victory over sin and death and the enemy, Satan, because of your true identity in Christ. You are already a victor in him. Romans 8:37, you fight from victory, not for victory, but in all these things, he says, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. In other words, no matter what comes your way, you can stand firm knowing that God is with you. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Remember is that your true identity, you're never alone, but Jesus is right beside you. He is right with you. His Holy Spirit dwells within you. At the end of his great commission, Christ promised, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Matthew 28:20. Whether you're feeling joyful this morning or whether you're feeling lonely, remember Jesus is right there. And the 13th identity is this, that your true identity means that you are called to live differently. That's what our brother talked about in relation to the draft. There are men around that are watching, and they know where you belong, and they know how your response should be. You are living to identify Christ. Set your heart on things above where Christ sitteth, where Christ is seated. Put to death sinful earthly natures such as sexual immorality and impurity and lust, and the thought goes on. Do away with those things. Allow Jesus to cleanse you from those things. Clothe yourself with compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Colossians 3:12. And in Colossians 3:13, he says this, bear with each other and forgive others as the Lord forgive you. I believe that's a struggle for many today, to truly forgive. But you know what Jesus says? If we fail to forgive others, neither will we be forgiven. But let the peace of God, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And be thankful. Therefore, knowing your true identity, changes how you live. Not to earn God's love, but because you already have it. The 14th identity is this. You are an ambassador for Christ. You're living in another country. Heaven's your home. As an ambassador of Christ, your words and your actions show his true love, truth and love and hope to a world around you. In other words, you represent the good news of God's love and grace with your culture. Do you struggle to believe this morning your true identity in Christ? Too often, obstacles in life prevent you from accepting and recognizing your true identity in Christ. As we show to the world around us who Jesus really is. Or maybe we're overwhelmed because of things of our past life. May we live consistent lives for Jesus Christ. Live out your true identity in Christ. And I want to share a few simple thoughts with you yet before I close. To live out your true identity. Number one, reflect daily on just one of these truths. One day at a time. Write it down, memorize it. Say it aloud. Ask God to help you believe it and to live it. Secondly, surround yourself with other believers to encourage you in this, in living out your true identity in Christ. Spend time with others who will remind you of who you are in Christ. Thirdly, take your mind off yourself by purposefully serving others. I preached a message at home last Sunday, a qualification message for an ordination that we hope to have at the end of this month. And true servanthood, true leadership is servanthood. Jesus himself got on his knees and washed his disciples' feet. Fourthly, speak the truth. Choose to believe God's word. Even though you may face things contrary to that. Don't struggle with doubt, but declare God's truth out loud. Fifthly, pray boldly. We can come boldly to the throne of grace, to the throne of God. Take your heavenly Father confidently, knowing that you are his beloved child. Sixthly, let your conduct embody compassion, kindness, and humility in your daily interactions with people. Guard your mind. Be careful with what you watch and listen to. And fill your mind with truth. Fill your mind with the truths of God's word that will give you power to live it out. In conclusion, become your true identity in Christ. Basically, your true identity in Christ must be lived out daily, even if the world tells you something different. Remember, you are a child of God. Our greatest need is to become who we already are in Christ. Staying rooted in your true identity in Christ will protect you from seeking your true identity in idols. The more you remember your identity in Christ, who you are in him, the more you will grow in joy and purpose in your daily walk with him. Purpose and confidence, let your new identity shape how you think and what you do. You're not who the world says you are. Above all, you are who God says you are, and that's what's going to matter in all eternity. May God help us to live that kind of life. Shall we pray?